Hanky's out. Woo! Hallelujah! And but that old preacher, he got up there and he was opening up the service. He said, "Amen, amen." He said, "Oh, oh, I feel God. Woo! This feels good. I feel so good. I can preach." He said, "This is so good. I can preach in short preaches." I don't know why he said that, but it was good. God hadn't left that old man. Now, I felt sorry for him when I first met him for the service, because I thought, here's a man dedicated his life, his finances, his health, his wealth, his family, everything to God, and served people all those years, and now they've deserted this old man, but God is still with him. Yes, amen. I met this old woman down at the Catawba Care Home behind the, it ain't Bowwaters anymore, but the paper mill down there in Catawba, Leslie area down there. And when I was a young preacher and I was up at Independent Bible Baptist, I wanted to preach every week. So I'd go out there and they let me preach. It's a county poorhouse. It's a county poorhouse. You know, they closed the insane asylum down in Columbia on Bull Street. And they just turned those people out on the street. And one of those nurses told me, she said, "If it wasn't for this place here, these are the people that used to live down there." And she said, "If it wasn't for this place, sad as it is, they'd be living under bridges and in cardboard boxes." And she said, "I just thank God they got a place to sleep with a roof over their head." It was a pitiful place. And first couple of weeks I went out there and I'd lead the singing. I had hymn books. I gave all of them hymn books, you know, and I'd lead the singing and no piano. And after a couple of weeks, this little old lady came up there and she was just arthritic, you know, just eat up with rheumatoid arthritis. Her joints were all swollen. Her fingers were bent and she was kind of bent over. And she said, "Preacher, I can play the piano for you if you want to." They had a piano right there. I said, "You can?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "You play the piano?" She said, "I played the piano out here at the Southside Baptist Temple for 20 years. And I felt sorry for her because they done told me the old lady had no business. The church forgot her, family forgot her. She got on that piano, brother. She could play any hymn. Of course, I wasn't much, you know. But she could play any hymn that I opened up with those fingers just like that. Just I don't know how she did it. Never missed a lick. If she did, I didn't know it. And you know what? I quit feeling sorry for her. I thought, God hadn't left that old woman. God's still with her. Her pastor might have left her. Her Sunday school teacher might have left her. Her husband might have forsaken her. Her children might have forsaken her. Her grandchildren might have forgot her. I said, but God hadn't forgot her. She's still down there serving God in the county poorhouse. Amen? Hey, God won't forsake you. Thank God. And then he says, verse 12, "Oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, haste for my help." These people are attacking him. Verse 13, "Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt." Now that doesn't preach very well in today's Baptist church, but that's the Bible. Now I know we're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to do unto others as we'd have them do unto us. But there comes a time where you might just have to pray like Psalms that David did. He said, "Chase them, Lord. They're hurting your child. Chase them, Lord." You ever prayed that? I have. I prayed, "Lord, smite her heart. Smite them, Lord. Knock them down. Wake them up. And if you can't do, Lord, if you can't do that, get them out of the way. However, just remove them, Lord." That's what David said. "Let them be confounded and consumed." Consumed. Do you see that word? Burn up. Destroyed, consumed, that are adversaries to my soul. "Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt." Now I know you're supposed to turn the other cheek. And I know you're supposed to pray for those who despitefully use you. But there comes a day where you pray like this. you pray like this. I prayed for it. I said, God, I know I'm not much of a preacher, I'm not much of a pastor, but I'm the only one you got here. And until you get somebody else, Lord, you're going to have to defend me. You're going to have to take care of me, Lord. These people attack me, and most of the time I don't even know. But they attack me, and I say, Lord, smite their heart. Knock them down. I see people hurting other Christians, you know. A man beat his wife about as low as a man can get. And I say, Lord, smite him. Smite his heart. Break his heart. And Lord, you know the future. If he's not going to stop, get him out of the way, whatever that means. Remove him, Lord. Same way with people that abuse their children. I pray the same thing for them. You say, preacher, that's not what I've been taught. Well, I'm just reading you the Bible, okay? Verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. You see, hope never ceases, and it causes praise.
Yes, sir.
And then verse 15, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. You know what he's saying? He said, I don't know when I'm going to die, so I'm not going to shut up till I do. That's in the original South Carolina. He's not going to stop talking about, Lord, my mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation. We call that witnessing. Well, I know not the numbers thereof. What's he talking about? I don't know the numbers of days that I have the opportunity to do that, so I'm going to do it every day. Let me tell you something. Some people you'll never have but one chance to witness to them. You better do it. Others, you may have 5, 10, 500 chances, but you don't know the number of days you're going to have that opportunity. You better take it while you got it. I'm going to tell you something. You'll stand in front of a holy God one day. If you didn't and you had the opportunity, you'll have bloody hands. Their blood will be on your hands. And they'll point at you and say, she never told me. I worked right beside her. She never mentioned Jesus Christ. I worked with that man, and he listened to my dirty jokes, and he never rebuked me, and he never witnessed to me. And all you can do is just stand there ashamed. It's coming. You don't know the number of your days. You better get to work. He said, and I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. What's he talking about? He said, I'm going to name the Lord God, not my name, because my name's tainted with sin. I'm going to go in his name, and I'm going to talk about his righteousness because I don't have any. And then verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, I started turning gray-headed when I was 18. When I was old and gray-headed. By the way, my father-in-law's second wife, his first, Susie, that's her name. I hope they're watching. She's always liked my preaching, and she's encouraged me, you know. And she told me one day when my hair, this up here used to be brown. And all down here, it started turning white here, you know, and climbed up. So it looked like I had a brown cap on the white hair, you know. And when it finally got all white, she said, now you look like a preacher. I didn't know that was a qualification, but if I did, I'd have dyed it sooner. Amen. Amen. Now you look like a preacher. She might have said real preacher. I don't remember exactly. He said, I've taught from my youth, and hitherto I declare thy wondrous works. Why don't young people talk about the Lord? Maybe they're not taught. He said, now also when I'm old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. You know what he's saying? Lord, don't let me die till I've done what I'm supposed to do. Let me finish right, God. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me to finish right. I don't want to finish a failure. I don't want to leave out this world a failure. I want to say, when I stand there, I want him to say, you've run your race. you've kept the course. There's laid up for you a crown of righteousness. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that? And one day we're going to hear something, and I hope that's what I hear. Amen. He said, don't forsake me until I've showed thy strength unto this generation. That's his generation. Now this is your generation. Are you showing anybody the strength of God? You know what that means? Life-changing power. Can people see the life-changing power of Jesus Christ in us? That's how we show them. Now, he didn't say tell them. He's already talked about telling about the righteousness of God. But now he's saying, let me show this generation. Let me show them. You know, a lot of people talk a real good walk, but they don't walk it. They talk it. They talk about being a good Christian, but they don't practice it near as much as they talk it. I'd rather see a man live for Christ than just talk about it. Now, I know you ought to talk about it, but if you're going to talk about it, how about living like it? You ever heard this? Boy, she goes to your church. Boy, if he's a Christian, Woods is full of them. You ever heard anybody say stuff like that? You know why? They're talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk. Lost people got to see something as well as hear something. Now, they can't see Christ himself, but they want to see Christ in you. You say you're a Christian, they know that means Christ-like. Don't get quiet on me now. I'm only halfway through this psalm now. Man. And then he said, and until I've showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. In other words, he's going to have a legacy. When he dies, people still want to know there was a man of God there. He's going to have a legacy. People, his family's going to show how he lived. They're going to talk how he lived. They're going to be living examples of how that man lived or that woman lived. Their testimony is not only what they said, but what did they do or didn't do. And that's what he's saying. I'm going to go, but I want these after I'm gone to know I've been here. I watched that wonderful life again this year and I cried. I can't help it. It's a wonderful life. I cry every time. And when George runs down that road shouting and hollering there at the end, I'm shouting and hollering with him. When he runs in that house and all those people bring that money in there, I start crying. I really do. And all those people bring that money. I say, man, that could have been me. That could be me. Amen. Amen. When we leave here, we'll leave our mark on this world and these lost people. All right. Here we go. Verse 19. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who has done great things, O God? Who is like unto thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles. Whoop. There's a comma right there. We can pause. Do you see what he's saying? He said, thou which hast showed me great and sore. He said, Lord, you put the trouble on me sometimes. You've showed me some great and hard times, Lord. But wait a minute. Shall quicken me again. That word means make alive. And shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Amen. He said, look here, I might die sick, but I ain't staying dead. And he said, I've had troubles, Lord. You've shown me some troubles. I've had some hard times, Lord. You put me in those. And by the way, if you hear a preacher say that that doesn't happen, get out of his sight. Get away from that lying crook. I go to see people sick and they say, why did this happen to me, preacher? I say, I don't know. Well, have I done something wrong? I say, I don't know. Well, why would God put me through this? I don't know. Only God knows that. But I say this, if you'll trust Him, He'll get glory and you'll be glad. Why, preacher? I don't know. We'll never know till you get to the other side. But I can promise you this, if your sore troubles take you to the grave, one day you're going to get up again and all of the glory of God will be on that new body that'll never be sick again. And God will get the glory for your sickness. Amen. Boy, I like that. I like that. He says, verse 12, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. Now, wait a minute. He just told him he put him through sore troubles. Now he's saying, but you're going to increase my greatness. You know what that means? His reputation. This is a great man. When we die, would anybody say, well, they were great in the faith? I'm going to do what Curtis Hudson done whenever he died. Dr. Curtis Hudson was one of my heroes from Georgia. Great, 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 great preacher. And I heard him in person several times, many times. And he told him when he died, as he was dying, he said, I want you to put the Roman road on the back of my tombstone. And on the front, put about me. But then on the back, I want you to put about him. And you can't go and look at his grave without seeing how to be saved. And he was a great man. His greatness went from being a little mail carrier down in Georgia. Had a little church with 19 people in it, meeting in the basement. And he went and saw the Lord conference and got fired up. Went home, prayed for the fullness of the Spirit, and went to work. And ended up with the biggest church in Georgia, right outside Atlanta. And then he took on the sword of the Lord. But God made that man great. He come from nothing. He come from nothing. God done that for many, many, many people. Okay. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery. Even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee and my soul which thou hast redeemed. You know what he said? I'm going to sing praise of my redeemer. Yeah. I'm going to sing his praise. Look here. Ever since I got saved, I didn't know one hymn. Not one. I knew Amazing Grace because one of those rock singers made it a pop song. They played on the radio, I think, when I was in the seventh grade. And they play, or maybe the eighth, and they played it on the radio. And one of my friends worked in the office, and he was a little brat, but he was one of my friends, and he worked in the office. He was a sneaky little booger. He'd say the devotional, you know, y'all talk about having devotion Bible in school. He'd do the daily Bible reading and say devotional, and get on the playground, and cuss me out. But so you know, it didn't work, but. Me and my other friend told him, said, we know you work in there right next to the intercom system that the principal makes announcements on every morning, and you do the daily devotion. He said, yeah. And I said, there's a radio in there. You're going to turn that radio on to WAGL Lancaster, the rock station, at 10 o'clock. You're going to turn it on. You're going to turn the microphone on so everybody in the school can hear it. And we was bullying him, you know. And sure enough, about 10 o'clock, you heard the intercom come on. Some things rattled around, you know. Amazing Grace. They were singing that song on the rock station. Blew the whole plan. He got a whipping and got fired. And we didn't enjoy a bit of it. Amen. He said, but my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, my soul which thou hast redeemed. How in the world can you go to church and not sing? I will sing of my Redeemer. I wish I could sing. I'd sing you a song. Look, how in the world can we go to church and sit around like a knot on a log and not rejoice and not praise God, not sing to His glory? Amen. Well, I don't like those old songs. Well, if you're saved, you'd like them. Amen. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness on Sunday. On visitation night. In the Bible study, in Sunday school. No, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. Why, David? Why are you going to do that? Look at the rest of the verse. For they are confounded. For they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Well, what makes them confounded and what makes them ashamed? I'll tell you what it is. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. They want to talk bad about him. They want to persecute him. They want to hurt him. And what does he do? He keeps telling them what God does. And they get convicted. I told y'all this story before. Matter of fact, he may be watching. He watches on here sometime. There's a young man named Jeff. When I was working at Piedmont Distribution, I was probably 26 or 27 years old. Warehouse work, hard, hot work. And Jeff was on steroids. He had arms that huge and he muscle. And boy, like do muscle, you know. And he got mad one day and he come over to the break room and they have those. They're real thick wood doors. They're fire doors. They'll keep a fire back. They're so thick. And he was mad. He opened that door and stuck his head out and banged it on his head until the top hinge came off. He was on steroid rage. Me and him went working together that day and he kept using God's name in vain. I said, stop it. Stop it. Don't use God's name. Oh, shut up. I'll say anything. And he'd drive off with a pout full and come back and I'd load it up. And he was cursing, using God's name in vain. I said, stop using his name in vain. How would you feel if I used your daddy's name in vain like that? What if I said a curse word every time I said your daddy? I said, he's my father. Stop it. He said, I won't do it. And I walked over and they had these big old metal poles sticking down the dock where you pull them back that big round solid steel. And I picked that up and I looked at him. I said, you say it again and I'll hit you right square between the eyes with this steel pole. And he mumbled and drove off. Slung product everywhere. About 30 minutes later, I was back at the back in a cross aisle there. He come flying up on that forklift and he stopped right there beside me. And I thought he was fixing to jump off. I didn't have my steel ball. There was candy bars stacked here and candy bars stacked there and chocolate there. And he said, listen. I said, all right. I need to apologize to you. He said, I shouldn't talk to you like that. I know you're a Christian. And I know you're a preacher. And I shouldn't do that. And I'm sorry I even talked like that. The Lord had to do that. I couldn't have done that. And then the next day, I'm sitting in the break room and all these guys sitting around me. And I'm reading my little Bible and eating my little lunch by myself. Nobody wants to sit with the preacher boy. And he comes walking in there and they cussing and going on. And Simon says, shut up! Stop that cussing! Don't you see there's a preacher sitting over there? And he come over and sit down beside me. And they shut up. And they never bothered me again. And I started talking to him about the Lord and witnessing to him about a month later. He pulled up beside me again, way back there in the back of the warehouse. He said, listen, I've been talking to my wife about this stuff you've been telling me about Jesus, about the Bible. Would you come over at my house and tell me and my wife how to know Jesus and be saved? And I went over at that night and I took them through the plan of salvation and both of them asked the Lord to save them. Now listen, God does that. They're confounded. They're ashamed. See, the problem is not the sinner, it's the saint that won't stand up for Jesus, won't speak up for Jesus, won't talk about righteousness and holiness and God and salvation. And look, the world is not failing. It's always been a failure. It's the church, it's believers that are failing because they're scared that somebody might make fun of them. I got eternal life. Why would I care what you said about me? God's my Father. You can't intimidate me. I'm not a fighter. If you know me, I'm not. I never have been. I don't have to be. My Father is. And He's promised to protect me. Christians will hurt you. He's protected me against Christians. He'll do it. And by the way, all of them that did it, I don't even know where they're at now. Some of them dead. I got news for you. If you'll speak up, He'll stand up. That's how He closes it. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded. For they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Go ahead, Nancy. Go ahead, Chuck. Do whatever you want to. Help yourself. Come over to my house, I'll tell you what your real problem is. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. You got religion. They all got religion, but they don't have Jesus. I'm not worried about it. People say, well, ain't you worried the way you preach? Somebody come firebomb your house. No. No, I'm not worried about that. Aren't you worried they're going to break in? No. They've never done it before. I've been at this, what, since 1980. I've been preaching. 82, I was licensed. 83 ordained. They hadn't done it yet. You know why? I asked Him to put a hedge around me. And God protects us. I'm not saying we don't have hard days. I'm not saying I haven't had bad days. I'm not saying I haven't been attacked verbally. I'm not saying I haven't been threatened physically. But God's always took care of us. Now, they may nail me to a stake yet, Michael. I don't know. They may throw me in jail. I don't know. What I do right now may one day be against the law in America. I don't know. But I'm not worried about it. I'm going to tell of His righteousness all day long. And if they put me in jail, I'm going to start a jail ministry. I done told you. And some of y'all can come help. Jeffrey, you can play piano in jail. They have pianos in jail. Thomas, you can do Sunday school. They have Sunday school in jail. Rachel, you can visit and sing. Did y'all hear the difference? Rachel, visit and sing. Belinda, you can visit and tape it. Look here. No weapon formed against us can harm us without first going through His okay. And if He lets it happen, it's for our good and for His glory. And that my end destination is always going to be greater than where I am now. Whether it's good or bad. I end a winner. What about you? Let's end a winner. Let's stand. Father, thank You. I just read and hollered, Lord. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You. There's so many promises. So much hope there. And Lord, I pray those that are watching tonight, if any of them lost, that they'd get down on their knees and say, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Save me from hell. I don't want to go to hell. And I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. And I'm going to put my trust in Him from now on. You'll get saved if you do that. Saint, if you're out of the will of God, He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, but I've done it too many times. He'll do it every day. He'll do it every day. If you'll ask, He'll do it. Church member, time to get talking. Time to get talking. Time's running out. How long's your days? You don't know. Today may be your last day. Let's talk about Him. Amen. Come on. In Jesus' name I pray. Turn to page 310. 310. Hey. Come on, you need dog.